From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, it'll be those Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. Here's what's happening in Chicago. Bizarre story. A 34-year-old woman died after falling concrete hit her on the head outside of a church in the South Loop area. Part of the gargoyle statue struck the woman in the head after falling from the Second Presbyterian Church of Chicago at 19th and Michigan Avenue just after noon. Killed was Sarah Bean of Chicago, a falling piece of a gargoyle statue. Oh. The Ukrainian government and pro-Russian rebels have apparently signed a truce deal to end almost 5 months of fighting. The two sides agreed to stop firing at each other. So far, more than 2,600 people have died since the rebels stormed several eastern cities. Another American doctor infected with a deadly Ebola virus has arrived home now for treatment in the United States. A plane carrying Dr. Rick Sakura landed Friday morning in Omaha, Nebraska, and then was taken to Omaha's Nebraska Medical Center. Sakura, the third American with the Ebola virus to return to the United States for treatment, was stationed in Liberia when he was exposed to that virus. Well, U.S. employers hired the fewest number of workers in 8 months in August, and more Americans gave up the hunt for jobs, providing a cautious Federal Reserve with more reasons to wait longer before raising interest rates. Things just haven't kicked in yet. The best anti-aging technique, listen to this, is standing up. According to scientists, they discovered that spending more time on 2 feet protects DNA. A study found that too much sitting shortens what is called telomeres, the protective caps which sit at the end of chromosomes. So stand as often as you can. An asteroid the size of a whale will have a very close shave with Earth on Sunday. At the time of the close approach, asteroid 2014 RC will be 1/10 the distance from the center of Earth to the moon, or about 25,000 miles. Let's check in with Dr. Sky's Stephen Cates on this one. Stephen, this is a little too close for comfort.
Absolutely, George, and it's great to report this information. We're lucky because we're not, as you said, going to be affected by this. But just a little bit of history on this asteroid. What I find so amazing, George, and I'm sure you and the listeners do also, the object was discovered less than a week ago. A week ago, which is amazing. In other words, if we didn't have these kind of telescopes, and by the way, it was partially discovered here in Arizona and then successfully in Hawaii by these satellite-type and comet and asteroid-tracking telescopes. But, George, the facts that we know are this. Allegedly some 60 to 80 feet in diameter. We know it's called an Apollo-class asteroid because it comes just from the beyond the orbit of Mars. And here's the facts, folks, as we count down this arrival or near arrival of 2014 RC. Sunday at 2:18 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, or 11:18 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, 18:18 hours Universal Time, is the closest passage, George. You mentioned 25,000 miles below the Earth, but into that geosynchronous satellite ring. Very interesting, George. We're lucky. Obviously, this is similar to the Chelyabinsk object that hit the Earth back in February. But the only two other objects, George, that we really have to pay attention to, and you talk about them with guests too, 4179 Tautatus, and then the Apophis asteroid, April the 13th, 2029. These are interesting objects. Unfortunately, George, as we close, we here in North America and the listening audience probably cannot see the object. You can if, let's say, you were in New Zealand or in the South Pacific with a telescope. This is fascinating stuff, George, but here's some final facts that are very interesting. These particular objects that have been discovered, get a look at this quickly. This month alone, 8 near-Earth objects discovered. This year, 847 all time, over 11,000. So just like you're looking to protect the power grid, we certainly want to protect, well, we want to really try to protect ourselves from both things, the power grid failure and also the threat of near-Earth asteroids. More at drsky.com and check out our photo and aviation site, photorecon.net.
Great. Thanks for the report, Stephen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when we will get hit by one sometime. We have before, it'll happen again. What else is in the skies? Let's check in with Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. Well, Peter, what do you got for us?
Well, good evening, George, and it's nice to be back. I think it's been a couple of weeks since I've been on coast.
Yes, sir.
And I'd like to start by tipping my hat in your direction for a couple really, really nice programs recently. And I'd just like to point out to you and the coast audience that I consider myself to be not just a conspiracy theorist, I'm a card-carrying conspiracy theorist. Of course the government is lying to us. And most of all, with regard to the issue of UFOs, I'd just like to point out that if it were not for an Australian physician, Dr. Campbell, who was considered to be a conspiracy theorist back a couple decades ago, who said there were bacteria in the human gut, the stomach and the duodenum, we'd still be treating ulcers with a glass of milk and psychotherapy. So I think the Earth would be going backwards if it were not for us conspiracy theorists, George. But a lot of activity. We just tonight updated our website, ufocenter.com. In the last 2 weeks, we have posted, I just added them up, 714 new reports, and those are just the good written reports after screening, and it doesn't even begin to address the telephone reports that people don't follow up on. But a week ago, let's see, tomorrow, August 30th, Saturday, a commercial pilot, airline pilot, was walking out of a hospital in Salisbury, Maryland. He looked up, his girlfriend looked up, and they were just shocked to see three very bright orange lights in a triangular formation, not too far from them, the pilot estimated. The formation suddenly executed a roll, making the pilot think that he was looking at a solid object as opposed to three separate lights, and the object went shooting off over the horizon. A few hours later, something very similar in Racine, Wisconsin, at 11:23 p.m. on Saturday, the 30th of August, a group of adult witnesses witnessed a very large orange or yellow illuminated disc. As they were watching it streak across the sky, the illumination suddenly stopped and they could see the dark object, the dark body of it. Last night, Glen Ellyn, Illinois, a group of adult witnesses observed, they report, at 8:20 p.m., a cluster of approximately 30 orange objects moving across the night sky. Same thing seen over Nampa, Idaho. And this morning at about 2:30, maybe 2:15 this morning in New Mexico, a law enforcement officer stumbled upon an object that was sitting in the middle of a field. He illuminated it with his spotlight. The object suddenly threw its high beams on. It became very brightly illuminated, lifted off the ground, and shot up into the night sky. So a lot's going on, and if people see anything, I'd encourage them to prepare a written report, go to our website, and be sure to document it.
Great, Peter. We'll talk to you next week with some more reports. Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. In a moment, Giovanni Lordi joins me again. We're going live down under to Australia, lucid dreaming and the subconscious mind, next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. He was on with me almost 2 years ago, Giovanni Lordi, an Australian hypnotherapist, mesmerist, author, counselor, a passion for uncovering the so-called unknown capabilities of the human mind, both personally and with his clients. His book, Toolbox for Life. Welcome back to Coast, Giovanni Lordi. Giovanni, always a pleasure.
You too, George, and hello to all the viewers. Thank you for having me on here today.
We are here listening by the millions for you tonight, Giovanni.
Oh,
so
awesome.
It's always good.
Great to hear.
What have you been doing over the last couple of years since we last chatted?
I've been dabbling in more into the effects of the mind, the riddles of the mind, decoding them. So you understand what how the subconscious mind talks to you. So
Talk a little bit about that subconscious mind too. How different is it from the conscious mind?
Okay, let's switch it a little bit and let's talk about men and women. Okay, So I believe the subconscious is our female side. Okay, so you look at a woman. They've got the emotion. They're blessed with the gift of having life growing within them. They're the light. They're full of love. They're protective. You know, they're expressive. They're more in tune with the unknown realms of the world, like the things that we can't see, like the spirit world. They're more in tune with trust and faith and adapting to every situation. So like when they're going out somewhere, they're always adapting, which is what the subconscious mind does. Mm-hmm. With when you're like, it's adapting to the weather, because our body is basically like a receptor. Okay, so through the skin, it's adapting to any point in time. Okay, and depending on what's going on in that point in time is referencing your past, creating your future, then it's bringing it down to the moment of now. Okay, so and then the woman side is the creative side of us, and women speak in indirect languages. So let's look at the male side. We speak direct language. We're more instinctive. Our role is to analyze situations, take responsibility, set targets, create strategies, and make it happen. So if you look around the world, you see houses and buildings and everything, because that's a male thing. It's ego. It makes things bigger and better. Where the woman puts a touch, the feeling, so it's comfortable for you to be there. So when we look at the two differences between the both of them, what gives us the answers is our external environment. External environment. So the more we begin to understand how a woman speaks, like if a woman wants to go to the beach, or I think you call it the shore over there, wants to go to the beach or the shore, she'll speak indirectly saying, I wonder what the water is like. So in that language pattern, that means, I want to go to the beach today.
Take me there.
Yeah, take me there. And when she's preparing for the beach, she's preparing every part of the beach. So whether it's going to rain, whether she's going to stay there for the night, what the look's going to be like, what the feel's going to be like, what's her environment, so she's preparing. That's why they take a lot longer to get ready than what we do.
Of the two, Giovanni, though, the subconscious and the conscious, they work together, don't they? Because you really can't have one without the other, can you?
100%. 100%. What I believe the conscious mind is the training ground. It teaches the subconscious its behaviors, what to feel through questions, by questioning strategies and taking responsibility. So like a woman needs closure. So the subconscious mind needs closure. If it hasn't got closure, what is happening, those emotions which are running from the heart are clouding the mind constantly. Okay, so unless those are dealt with and done with, they'll keep coming up. They'll keep coming up in your dreams. They'll keep coming up in your thought process. Because the average person has about 60 to 80,000 thoughts a day. And those thoughts are only alive when there's an emotion attached to it. So by understanding the language patterns between both, you'll be able to know how they interact together. And the best way to learn that is for men to understand women and their language patterns and vice versa. Then we know how to interact together and create our internal world and to move forth.
Now, Giovanni, I always thought of the conscious mind as directly related to the brain, the physical brain, and then the subconscious as being a little more supernatural. Is that true?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, 100%. The subconscious mind works in the unknown realms. Okay? It works through our nervous system, our body. Okay? So when you're thinking, and without you realizing, you take a deep breath in through your nose. Like when you're asking yourself a question. So it's acting through that way. Like it's sucking in consciousness and then the answer is coming through. Okay? When we're feeling down or we have problems or things we're dealing with, we yawn. So to get rid of the low vibrating energy within our bodies. Okay? So when our hearts are happy, your heart is like the magnet, what attracts things to you. So when you're happy, you're admitting a good energy. So you find people just come to you and don't even know the reason they're turning up. And they just want to be around you.
No, you're right. I've done experiments on being happy, positive, negative energy. I've done experiments with that over the years. There is no doubt in my mind now, Giovanni, that positive energy attracts positive things, people, events, things happen to you in a good way. But negativity, man, the bottom falls out, and it's almost all the time.
I'll tell you the reason why. Because negativity, we associate negativity to bad things, negative energy.
Yes.
But negativity is actually your meditative state. Okay? Negativity is where you review and reflect on what's going on without being attached, like watching a television show. Okay, that's what negativity is supposed to be used for. It's your meditative state. Look at it, find the faults, and then take action.
Fix the faults. What if you don't fix them?
Then you fall into a heap. You get stuck. Because what happens, your subconscious adapts and gets used to things. And the more you get used to a behavior or a feeling, the more it becomes part of your life without thinking about it.
All right, let me throw out an example at you and tell me how you'd handle this. Guy comes home from work. He's mad at his job. He's mad at his boss. He's mad at his coworkers. Takes it out on his wife. Takes it out on his kids. That, to me, is negative energy. How can he turn that into a positive?
Okay, I'll tell you what he should do. Okay, men about release. We have to get everything out of our lives, fix it, find a solution, and we move forward. That's what we're about. We chase for freedom. We need to release all that crap out of our lives. Sorry about the language. But anyway, so what the man needs to do is before he gets home, go to the gym and resolve it. Find the answer, find the outcome he wants. So then that part of him is done, dusted, and dealt with. Then when he gets home, generally the woman's about fulfillment. So she'll be sitting there waiting for him, and she'll be dressing up or acting a certain way to see if he's noticed what she's done. So once he does that and has that part of his life where he resolves it before he actually gets home, then when he actually meets his wife or missus or whatever, then they can connect. His mind is not getting occupied with the outside source. Okay, so he needs to switch from work into home.
You know what? Have you heard of the phrase road rage? Do they talk about that in Australia? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm convinced road rage occurs when a bad driver, who's minding his own business, but just he's a bad driver, maybe he cuts in on people and stuff like that. He does that to a person who happens to be in a bad mood or he's having a bad day. Because generally, I don't think someone's going to be a road rager if things are fine. They'll look at a bad driver and laugh it off and go, what an idiot, and be on their way. But someone who's having a bad day becomes a rager. He chases them. He goes after the bad driver and everything else. I think road rage is based on just being in a very bad mood for the moment. What do you think?
Okay, for the moment, you're correct in that moment. I actually treated someone about 2-3 weeks ago with that same issue. And what came out of that is high self-judgment and external judgment, a lot of frustration and anger through their life. And they didn't even know the reason they were getting angry. And what we boiled it down to is it was self-judgment and a lot of frustration that's built up, and that was their release, how to get it out of the system. Because your subconscious is an elimination system. It has to eliminate. That's why we cry. That's why we voice our opinions. That's why we get angry. And the anger emotions is a decision-making emotion also. That's when you've had enough of something, you can switch into something else. Because when you need a high emotion to switch your life around, to overcome a different energy that's flowing through you. That's
Giovanni, stay with us. We're going to take this quick break. We're going to come back with more. Giovanni Lordier is our special guest right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Giovanni Lordi with us. We'll take calls next hour. Giovanni, I'm fascinated by your work as a hypnotherapist. What you must get all kinds of people that come to you.
Oh, 100%. And look, the greater the challenge, the better I prefer. It's just the way mm-hmm. things are. Like the easy stuff, I don't like doing. I like to take on things that are
the projects.
Traumatic. Yeah, but like probably about 3 years ago now, maybe a couple of years ago, 2 to 3 years ago, I had this little a friend of mine ring up, and there was a seven-year-old girl, and the doctors didn't know what was wrong with her. And what was happening is the immune system was fighting against the immune. So there was a complete battle going on within her. So I looked at it, and when that happens, to me, it's an overprotective subconscious mind. So it's protecting her from something, and which is external. So I asked the mother at that point, I said, you know, what happened within a year of this happening? And then she explained to me that, you know, she jumped in between when the neighbor's dog killed her dog and she was trying to stop it. I said, and how was her behavior since then? And then we found out that was the cause. So we hypnotized, detached that emotion, and then her body went back into balance.
She was fine. How do you tie in dreams and emotions? Do you find that in the dream state, people pick up a lot of information?
Oh, yeah. Well, like, the dream state is the riddle of the mind. It's throwing things up at you to get you to give it some direction. That's what I believe the dreams are. So it's a subconscious, for example, like if in your life everything, you haven't got anything in order, you got chaos, they're the dreams that make no sense. So you've got a lot of animals in there, you got people you don't even know and you're fighting all the time, jumping bridges, you know, jumping into oceans and you're going, holy doolies, what's going on? Okay, so those dreams, I like to call them the chaos dreams. Okay, so those chaos dreams, even though they make no sense, is because you've made no sense in your real life. It's all over the place. So what the subconscious is doing is going, hey, you're the director of this movie. What type of ending do you want on it? This is what all your thoughts have come up to. So if there's different animals, you associate those animals, but we spend a lot of time in analyzing those dreams. But what the subconscious is actually doing, it's saying to you, what type of ending do you want on this movie? What's the outcome? Do you want a happy one, a sad one, a powerful one like a hero? What's the ending? It's waiting for you to give us some direction and instruction.
In lucid dreaming, of course, with people knowing that they're in a dream, can they control that dream then?
100%. 100%. It does take a little bit of practice, because when you're lucid dreaming, you're consciously there. Okay? So your conscious mind is there, and the conscious mind is the one that gives an instruction and direction for the outcome. You don't need to know what the dream represents. You just need to put an outcome there, and the subconscious will switch its whole direction and start to create through the creative mind the outcome that you require.
Ever been in a dream and you wake up and you want to get back into that dream and you're fortunate enough to fall asleep and you can pick up where you left off?
100%. 100%. With the mind, whatever it sees and hears, it believes it to be true. Okay, that's why when we're having a dream or we're imagining things, the subconscious will give the nervous reaction throughout our body because it believes it to be true. Okay, and the same with our hearts, whatever our heart feels, the mind will see. Okay, so when you're having thoughts, unless you attach emotion to it or attach emotion to a dream, to an outcome, it'll stay stagnant like water and just start collecting mold you. So you have to give it direction. Like, for example, many, many years ago when I was a little child, you know, my mum turned around, I walked into my mum changing my sister. And I said, Mum, where's Angelina's pee-pee? And my mum turned around and said to me, she goes, some wild dogs came out and bit it off. Okay, so for many years as a child, I used to hide underneath that bed sheets and have dreams of these wild black dogs knocking down my walls and trying to bite my pee-pee off.
Let's hope that never happened in real life.
No, well, it never did until I got the understanding as I got, you know, become more mature and got into the hypnosis side. I understood that the subconscious...
That's a nightmare, Giovanni.
Yeah, that's a nightmare. My subconscious wanted me to do something with that dream. Because even in my latter years, I kept having this dream. And then I go, okay, well, let's switch it.
I hope you don't have that dream anymore, do you?
No, it's done and dusted. It's dealt with and done with.
Good. Because if you did, I would have to send you to a hypnotherapist. What has
there
been...
You go. I totally agree with you.
What has been, with a patient coming to you, the scariest type of thing you've had to handle with them?
The scariest type? Look, none of them are scary to me, but really? I understand what's happening. Like, sometimes you'll get people that have what they call abreactions, okay? And what an abreaction is when that person is actually stuck in that memory of time, and then they react within the chair. Sometimes their voice will change, like there's a devil there, some evil spirit. Sometimes they'll just go into, like, shocks within their body, convulsions. And then you just control it, and you bring it down. And then you switch the whole lot around. Like, I went to a jail many years ago to treat this little boy that, you know, attacked the counselor and the psychologist with a knife.
Oh, jeez. You know, how old was he?
Sorry?
How old was the little kid?
13 years old.
Jeez. Okay.
And I knew I couldn't use hypnosis on him. Because the poor child was raped and, you know, throughout his whole life, and it's a big story which I won't go into. Well, anyway, so I had to use complete new techniques to see if I can switch this child around. And then I had 2 hours with him, one on the Saturday, one on the Sunday. And on the Sunday, I knew I had to break him. That was the only way to see his worst side and then control the situation from there. So when I went in there, I've never seen anyone's eyes. It's like a black cloud went across his eyes. So his eyes were normal color, then all of a sudden they just turned black, completely black. And then the security guard and lady grabbed me and said, "Giovanni, get out of here." I said, "No, I've got the person I want." And then I just carried on and switched that out of him. And
person was petrified.
Yeah. It was like, you know, like sometimes in your life where you get this power, you don't even know where it's come from, and you can lift cars up.
Adrenaline works. Yeah, I've heard stories like that. Somebody comes across someone who's been injured, stuck under a car, and they're able to, with incredible human-like strength, I mean just superhuman strength, lift the 100%. Car up or something. That's strange. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's like... It's just amazing, and it's like a fireball that comes within us, and it just switches our adrenaline, everything, and just we've just become a lot stronger than what we are.
There is evil out there, right? You believe in evil. I believe in evil.
Look,
what creates it?
I believe evil is created by fear. It's a negative energy that controls people. Okay, so it's like this negative energy that runs through your body. It's taken full consumption of your mind, and there's nothing else you can see. And that happens to 10% of people. 10% of people, that they just completely believe the evil they do is sent from God, that they're here to do that. They completely believe it, and there's nothing you can do about them. Okay, there's 10% of people like that. And evil comes in many forms. You know, so I think it comes from traumatic, a lot of anger, and also spirits on the outside world that enter the body. So sometimes I think when I'm doing hypnosis, it's almost like there's the spirit leaving and a new spirit coming within someone. It's quite weird. It's like... Every emotion that we have creates a different character within us. Okay, so when you're your happy self, you're a different person. when your angry self, most people turn around and say, you've got a devil within you. There's something, sure. This is not you. What's going on? So I think when you touch on those emotions, and those emotions are at their extreme levels, then we're inviting outside sources in.
Do you find that right now more people seem to be uptight, mad, angry than ever before?
100%. They're overwhelmed. What's happening.
What's causing this? I don't know. Did Australia get hit with the economic downturn that we did? Did you get affected by it?
Look, we're the third dearest country in the world. Okay, so for example, if there's any cigarette smokers out there, like a pack of cigarettes is $25 for a pack of 20.
One pack of cigarettes?
Yes.
Well, I'm not a smoker, but that seems like a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. And like our petrols, it fluctuates from $1.50 to $1.80 a litre. Times that by 4.5 and you've got your gallon price, which is nearly $8.
That's crazy.
So we're very expensive in your luxuries. Whatever you enjoy, like a drink or your car or your house, bang. They bend you over and give you no Vaseline.
Well, let me ask you that. Why do you think it's so expensive over there? Because it's so far away?
I think it's so far away, but my other theory is we've got a big block of land that has many resources, but there's only 20 million people. Once you take the children out and the people that don't work, and you've only got a small amount of people that we have to keep up with the Joneses, which means keeping up with the rest of the world and what they're creating at the moment. But believe it or not, we have a lot of amazing inventors, and a lot of intelligence comes from this country, like breakthroughs in medical, in inventions, in pieces like that.
When people are stressed, and you've seen it, I mean, you perform hypnotherapy on lots of people. When they're stressed, do you find that it changes their entire personality?
100%. It changes them physically, emotionally, the whole lot. It's like a switch is going on, and they've created a whole new person. And a lot of times they get stuck in that stress. It just overwhelms them. It's like this morning, my daughter was playing her grand final in what they call netball. And this team they were playing against have never been defeated. You know, and so all the girls are sitting there, they're all worried, they're going, we're going to lose today, this team has won, da da da. So I pulled the team aside and I said, look, just come over here, girls. I said, look, everyone has a breaking point. And breaking points come under pressure or stress. I said, all you need to do to the other team is stay on them. Be there every time they turn, try to do something, you're on top of them. I said, then you'll see how, whether they come back fighting or they fall into a heap. And about halfway through the game, I said to the parents there, I said, the girls have just broken the other team. And the parents said, what do you mean? I said, you watch, they're going to win now. And they did. They won by 2 points. So that's what stress does. Some people come back fighting, and they use it as their best friend, and others fall apart because the body goes in the fight mode. And it affects us on every level, energetic level, conscious level, subconscious level, emotional level, spiritual level, the whole lot.
Is there much crime down in Australia?
No, I think it's proportional to the people we have here. So it's the same as you guys. You got 320 million people, we got 20 million people.
So, but you don't have guns, right, for your citizenry, or do you?
No, they took it all off us.
They took the guns, and I bet crime went up once they took the guns away.
In certain parts of Australia, yes. Certain parts. It's not the guns that kill people, it's the people that kill people.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. Are you concerned down in Australia, Giovanni, about terrorism?
Not really. You know, there's a lot of talk about it on the news, but, you know, you and I know that Well, whatever they put on the news is just to create theater so they can distract your mind into a direction so they can throw in a new policy. That's what they do.
Now, also with what you've done, is there much talk about that missing Malaysian plane? You know, Australia was very heavy in the search, and still nothing. What are they talking about out there about that?
Well, they're switching it from the both planes, the one that was shot down and then down to the missing planes. But there's a big part of Australia that believes it's a full conspiracy. There's something that's, you know, happened that no one's really known about. It's a big cover-up. Because a lot of it doesn't make sense. Like, I've got friends in the airline business, and they said, you know, when the plane goes up to 40,000 feet in the air, there's not enough oxygen, and most of the people will pass out anyway, so they can drop their plane into something. And some people think that the plane is in some part of Australia near Christmas Island. So I'm not too sure which way to take that, but I think it's almost like a cover-up to me, but I won't go into it too much, but it's like, you know, a plane just doesn't go missing.
Right.
Especially with all our technology and everything else, is what, no one's seen this plane through our radar system? What's going on here?
When people come to you for hypnotherapy, what's their biggest issue? What are they trying to solve?
Okay. What are they trying to solve? Most of the time, because I take on the traumatic and the fighters. I do a lot of UFC fighters and that. So they're bringing the best out of themselves, and they want to go back to the core, who they are. Because one of the things that the mind does at any point in time, and it doesn't matter what emotion you're feeling at that point in time, is confirming your identity. Okay?
Explain.
So when you lose your identity, you're lost, and you start falling in a heap, and normally when depression comes along with that. So you get a lot of people that have depression, or a lot of relationship breakups, a lot of anger issues.
Mm-hmm. Jobs.
Yeah, jobs. People wanting you to create miracles, basically.
Can you with hypnotherapy?
Look, I don't think you create miracles. You just, look, there's two types of ways you can do hypnosis. You can sit there and, you know, what I call the lack of a better word, flap your gums. And tell the person, I'll see you next week. And all of a sudden, it takes you about 15 sessions to fix them up.
Yeah.
But if you really want to fix them, you've got to drop yourself into hypnosis. You've got to be in their house. You've got to be prepared to take all the punches that come with it. Okay, and once you do that, you can shift a lot of things and a lot of problems you can get solved within 3 to 5 sessions maximum.
Have you ever had anybody under hypnosis attack you or anything like that?
No. I've had reactions and bits and pieces like that. I've had people, you know, disagree with me and yell and scream. I've had that. Then I just pull them into line. Yeah, especially if a mother's coming with a daughter and the mother was the problem and the daughter was too scared to tell the truth. I've had that.
Yeah. Is the mother there listening in while you're doing the session?
I've got no idea.
Yeah.
But when people come to hypnotherapy, one of the questions I ask is, how long have you had this for? And, you know, if they say 10 years, I say, well, that's long enough, and let's get rid of it. Yeah, so I want to get them out as fast as I can and get them fixed and get them back on the road.
Giovanni's website, by the way, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. I'll be back in a moment with Open Lines. Get ready.